catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm really pleased to welcome Diego Colon from Astilleros de Mallorca. How are you?
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Lovely to have you here. Now, the reason I wanted to bring you on for Yacht Crew Vlogs is Astilleros de Mallorca has a rich, rich history here on the island. And I wanted to get that story from the CEO himself and the family member himself about Astilleros from the very beginning. Now, you were formed in 1942 is when Astilleros was first formed, no?
Yes, 1942, yes, after the war. There was a little place in the Bay of Palma that was originally an area where they took stones to build the cathedral. And that area was a flat area in the coastline. And someone decided that's a good place to create a shipyard, because Astilleros means shipyard in Spanish. And they start building the first shipyard in that particular area, which was not very common, because the shipyards in Mallorca, in Palma, basically, they were all located in the town, very close to the center of the town, that were the Arab shipyards and the Middle Age shipyards. They were always in the middle of the town. But they decided that was a good place, and they did it. I think they started building wooden boats. And after the wooden boats, they start doing repairs on the Navy boats. At that time, after the Second World War, there was a naval base in Palma, very important. There was an American and a Spanish naval base. And they had quite a big fleet of Navy boats in Mallorca. And those ships were repaired in that little shipyard. And this is how things were started.
And so you started, of course, with the wood. And was this your family that started Astilleros de Mallorca?
No, nothing to do with me. There were people from Mallorca, yeah, and some investors from Catalonia. They were the original founders of the company. And that shipyard was also very much connected with the local ship owners that were doing traffic between mainland Spain and the Balearics. And those were building the first big ships in that shipyard. And they were starting with riveted ships, and afterwards with the welding procedures, they start doing welding ships, all kind of ships. At that time, they were making tugboats, they were doing fishing boats, they were doing container ships, they were doing absolutely every type of ships. And that was in the 60s when the shipyard started having problems with the Paseo Marítimo. The Paseo Marítimo was at that time was in construction, and the Paseo Marítimo was progressing to the west and closing the access to the sea of the shipyard. And in the beginning, they did a swinging bridge in order to maintain the flow of the traffic of cars and trucks on the Paseo Marítimo. And when they have to haul out a boat or put a boat back in the water, they were stopping the traffic, and they were moving the bridge, and the boats were ready to go back to the sea. But that was becoming a problem, and every week or every month the traffic was increasing. And one day they said, "Well, that's too much," and we have to relocate the shipyard. And they moved the shipyard from that location to the actual location in close to the Club Náutico. And this is the area where we are now. And this area, it's been traditionally the shipyard area in close to the old town. Actually, one of the plazas very close to here is Atarazanas, which means shipyard in Arab. That was the original name of the shipyard in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
That was in 1968 when they moved the facilities to the actual location. And with these new facilities, they took the advantage of modernize all the methods of production, and they had four slipways instead one they had before, and these four slipways were bigger, and they could build bigger boats, and they continue with the tradition of doing all kind of ships, all kind of fishing boats or tugboats, frigo boats, I mean every kind of ships at that time were built here.
Well, I mean, I saw that in 1958 was when the first boat was made of steel. Do you have any idea what type of boat that was? Was it a Navy boat? Was it a tugboat? Was it a pleasure craft? Do you know, fishing boat maybe?
No, it was a cargo boat. The probably 60 meters in length, or 55 to 60 meters in length, with two or three holds. And they were the type of boats they were using to move cargo from Mallorca to mainland Spain. It was a typical Mallorquin boat.
And did the transition, you know, obviously prior to that, it was always wooden boats, but were they still building wooden boats even after they started building the steel boats, or did it just do a transition completely over to steel?
In Mallorca, there was not the only place where they were building wooden boats, but the construction in wood was becoming less and less every year. Yeah. And there were a typical Mallorquin design that's called pailebote. The pailebote was very typical. It was something between 25 and 35 meters. And they were probably 20 or 50 pailebotes at that time in Palma doing traffic, commercial traffic. But they were disappearing. And they were not practical. They couldn't compete with the new steamships in the beginning, and then the motorboats. And this is why the tradition of building wooden boats was becoming minimal. And the rest of Spain was happening something similar. Very few places like the south of Galicia, and south of or southwest Andalusia were the only places where they could still were building wooden boats, but that was not normal.
What type of wood did they use?
Well, that's something very interesting, because they have to use wood that was accessible close to the area, and the majority of the wood was softwood, was pine. And they were using local harder wood like olive to certain areas. And but afterwards they start introducing African wood and the African mahogany, which is typical, because taking wood from America was very complicated and very expensive, and this is why they moved into African wood. And the same happened 200 years ago, 200 years before, with the construction of wooden boats in all Europe. The forest was in all Europe was completely exhausted, and they start to build big ships in the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century. The biggest shipyards of building wooden boats were already in America. This is why Spain was building big ships in Cuba, in Havana, and England was building boats in New England. And the construction in Europe became less and less because of the lack of forest.
Well, and I can imagine as well, the type of wood is such a huge thing, because being a Canadian, I mean, the necessity for the wood to be treated properly, and there's such a huge difference between soft and hard wood. So if you've got a softer wood, that boat isn't going to last for very long at all. It's going to have to be repaired on a regular basis or redone completely. I mean, there's going to have to be a complete refit because the wood really matters.
Well, yes, but you have to understand that some of the wood on the boat needs to be hardwood, like structural elements, but all the woods were not important if they were softer, like because they're softer at the same time were lighter, and exterior planking and decks were made with pine. That was not a problem. And to renew those planks were not difficult, and they used it very normally.
So when, I think it was 1994, that you folks decided to move away from building boats and focus strictly on refit and repair.
Yes, before that, I'm going to tell you that I came to Astilleros Mallorca in 1981.
Okay.
I was working on a shipyard in northern Spain that were building commercial ships, big ships, something between 160, 180 meters. That was a big shipyard. We were 2,000 people working there. And I was 28, and I had already in my department 500 people. I mean, that was quite a big shipyard. And I had opportunity to come to Mallorca because there was a position of a production manager, and I thought Mallorca is a nice place to live. And then I moved to Palma with my family. And Astilleros Mallorca at that time was building five fishing boats from Mexico. That was the beginning of the first three-mast schooner on 60 meters. It was a beautiful yacht. It was the first time Astilleros Mallorca was building a sailing yacht. And we had at that time also a contract for building gas carrier, 113 meters. I mean, huge gas carrier, and that was also the first time the shipyard was building such a huge thing that's bigger than the shipyard. And then, since 81 to 88, we were dedicated to building ships and doing yacht, starting with yacht repairs. And 94 is when we stopped the new building activity. That was a big and important decision, because we have to cut the labor force by two, and we have to reduce and modify all the structural organization of the shipyard in order to dedicate everything to the yacht market.
So why was that decision made, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, at the end of the 80s, in all Europe, there were difficult moments for the shipbuilding industry. At that time, Japan first, but then Korea was starting to make a very strong and very difficult competition with Europe. Most of the British shipyards were collapsing. The Swedish shipbuilding industry was also collapsing. In Denmark was the same. And the rest of the countries, they were all reducing by 50% the capacity. I mean, all Europe were suffering of an extreme difficult situation in relation to the competition of Korea, especially Korea. Japan was already in the market for many years, but Korea was pushing very hard and reducing the prices and making most of the shipyards, the European shipyards, that were not in terms of competition with them. And in Mallorca was even more difficult, because we didn't have an easy access to all the materials we need for the shipbuilding industry. All this, we have to import the steel, import the engines, and import all the equipment. And that was making our industry even less competitive than other places in mainland Spain. And this is why we were already into the yachting market. We were doing repairs of the yachts. And we thought that the repair activity by itself would be sufficiently good for us. And you have less financial risk, and you have an activity which is more stable than the new building activity. And we thought that was the best for the future, and we did it.
So when you walk into the yard, it is pristine. I have to say, it's a very, very clean yard. And there are, you know, signs everywhere on how to recycle. How important is sustainability in the environment to Astilleros as a whole?
Well, we are in the middle of the yachting market, which is the most pristine market on the shipbuilding that you can get. I think our clients are used to that. They are used to have the boats in immaculate condition. But not only the accommodation areas, but also the engine room. If you go to an engine room of one of these 50, 60, or 80 meters motor yacht, the engine room is absolutely immaculate. And there is no other way to do it. I mean, you have to train your employees to be clean, to be protecting everything before they start the work, to put the tools in the right place, not damaging anything you're doing. After every day's work, you have to clean where you're working, and you have to keep always an extreme and organization in all the jobs we are doing. And this is absolutely incompatible in having the facilities disorganized. This is why 12 years ago we decided to implement the lean management system, which is a Japanese invention that Toyota was doing in order to compete with the North American automobile industry. And this Japanese system. It's been spread all over the world. I think it's the method that we imported. And today, the shipyard, it's organized according to this. And we try to keep every single part of this management system in progression. I think it's important.
Well, and you see recycling such a big thing there as well. I mean, there are, you know, signs everywhere where to dispose of things. How long has that really been implemented at Astilleros, and how serious and strong are you about that?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to say when, but we started probably 15 years ago. And because the huge amount of different materials we are using, we have to be very careful in how to recycle every single material we are using. Probably we have about 15, 17 different materials, and every material has to be recycled in a different way. Plastic goes one way. We have wood, we have steel, we have stainless steel, we have cupronickel, we have aluminium. We have electronic materials, we have paint, we have oils, we have every single material needs a special consideration. This is very important. And it's not complicated to train our employees to take care of this. It's more difficult to train our clients because we have probably... let's say 140 yachts come into the yard every year. And every time a yacht is coming to the yard, you have to train the crew how to take care of all this. And this is not easy. And every time a new crew is coming to the yard, we have to put all together with a video and explain on a video what they have to do with every single material they are using and where they have to put the garbage, where they have to put the metals or the oil or whatever. And we ask them to sign every time they check the video, and then we follow every day with cameras that people are doing the right thing. I think it's very difficult, but it's the only way to do it.
Do you know if there's any other yards around the world that are doing the same sort of thing?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, but I think they have something similar. I think it's to maintain clean repair shipyard is not easy.
No,
it's not like a shipbuilding or new building industry where everything is new. On a new building industry, there is no garbage, there is no crew, there is no material that needs to be disposed of. And it's more complicated when a yacht is coming to you and the crew is living on board. They are using the toilets every day, and they are cleaning or varnishing or painting, and you are doing at the same time different jobs on board, and you have to take all parts of the boat and dispose of them, and at the same time introducing new parts and having a lot of extra materials that you need to get rid of. It's very difficult, but there's no other way to do it. Or you do it in an organized way, or becomes a mess.
Yeah. Do you ever think that you will go back to building ships, or do you think you are going to be happy staying as a refit and repair?
No, I don't think we will ever go back because from the financial point of view, it needs a complete different approach. And it's not so stable. And Mallorca is not in the right place to be a hub for new building. I think it's better to do what we think is the best for our specialization, and don't try to go into other business.
What's next for Astieros?
Well, I think the next step will be similar to this, to what we did in 1968. The position or the location of the shipyard today is not the best. We cannot expand. We cannot take bigger yachts. A big yacht in 68 probably was 45 meters, and this is not a big yacht anymore. And the fleet has been expanding. The medium size, it's been moved probably 20 meters ahead. I remember when I first came to Astilleros Mallorca, we could take every single yacht on the market except 15 or 14 yachts. Today, it's a big fleet of yachts bigger than 70 meters yeah. that we cannot take.
And they're being built more and more every day.
And this is why we have to think in a different location that we already know in the port of Palma. And I expect that one day we will move into that and we will start taking with bigger facilities, taking those part of the fleet that today we cannot accommodate.
Now, let me ask you, in the logistics of a move such as that, does that mean literally you have to take down every single building on your site now and move it? Or how does that work? How is that going to work to move your location?
Well, it's going to be a new facilities, a new haul-out equipment, new workshops, new buildings, absolutely everything is going to be new. Actually, one day we will be maintaining the new one and the actual one until the moment the new one is completely in operational, and we will stop the actual place and we will leave it back to the port authorities.
And is there going to be a lot of cleanup involved in that? Like, I can imagine, though, that because you guys have over the past, you know, number of years taken such good care of looking after the environment and making sure that the yard is clean, is that when you do literally leave that premises, that there won't be a lot of cleanup left to do?
I don't think this will be a problem. We will. The Port Authorities is having the plan of taking our actual installations and converting into a museum, and will be a maritime museum, which means probably the majority of what we have today is going to continue, which is good for the history of the shipbuilding in Mallorca. I think it's great. They continue with the actual facilities, and they can convert it into something that people in the future will understand how the shipbuilding industry was progressing in Mallorca.
Well, and for you as well. I mean, you are a man who has a great respect for history. So for you to know that what you're leaving behind is going to be used to teach others the history of boat building in Mallorca, I guess I can imagine that would feel pretty good.
Sure. That's part of my passions. I think to live without history is not so good. I think you always have to understand why things are like they are, and if you don't know the history, then it's nothing you can do.
That's true. Well, Diego, I want to say thank you ever so much. It's really interesting to hear the story of Astilleros de Mallorca and to see where it is going next. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rhea. Thank you.
Once again, you've been listening to the CEO of Astilleros de Mallorca, Colon, Diego Colon. We'll provide all of the links below this interview when it airs. And if you want to contact him, we'll provide his LinkedIn information. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.